also find an extended version of this interview.
Bookwaves is produced by Richard Walensky in the studios of KPFA Pacifica Radio in Berkeley, California.
Where is your radio dial on Thursday afternoons from noon until 2? 90.7 FM is the place to be. Twice a month, DJ Charlie presents the World Beat Connection with the hottest Afro-Caribbean sounds in Portland radio land. Reggae, salsa, soca, New Orleans Afro-funk, Haitian compa and rara, and Antillean zouk share the airwaves with African highlife, Afrobeat, Congolese soukous, Malian blues, juju, and South African kwaito, among the other great styles. Traditional and modern expressions are all included. On alternate weeks, check out Top Rankin Reggae and Dancehall with Shocks of Sheba show, hosted by Teresa and Michelle. Any week, Thursdays at noon is sure to move ya.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Laurelhurst Theater and Pub. Independently owned and operated, featuring modern, independent, and classic films, microbrews, pizza, salads, and wraps. Located at East Burnside and 28th in Portland, 503-232-5511 or laurelhursttheater.com.
Good morning and welcome to The Film Show, KBOO's spotlight on Portland's local independent film and video scene. I'm Jen Chavez. Thanks for tuning in today. This month, I'll be featuring two upcoming documentary series that aim to educate, raise consciousness, and perhaps to serve as an agent for social change. SW Concert will be back in December with part two of our special two-part Go Digital or Go Dark series. A bit later in this month's show, we'll hear from Jennifer Donkin and Dr. Lionel Johnson, the executive director and the program advisor, respectively, of the JHS Multicultural Film Festival, which hosts free screenings and discussions at the North Portland Library. But first, I'd like to turn my attention to an upcoming screening series at the Clinton Street Theater being brought to you by the Portland-based Cascade AIDS Project from December 6th through 8th. The Cascade AIDS Project's sole mission is to prevent HIV infections, support and empower people affected by HIV or AIDS, and eliminate HIV or AIDS-related stigma. And their series aims to do just that with films that explore both the history and the current implications of the disease in the U.S. and globally. Beginning 5 days after World AIDS Day on December 1st, the Cascade AIDS Project's series intends to raise awareness about the modern-day realities of the struggle against AIDS. Recently, I spoke with Jackson Mitchell, an HIV prevention specialist with CAP, who helped set up the series, about film as community outreach on the issue of HIV and AIDS. I'm joined in the studio by Jackson Mitchell, who is an HIV prevention specialist with the Cascade AIDS Project and an instrumental part of that group's three-day film series at the Clinton Street Theater. Welcome to the film show, Jackson.
Thanks, Jen. I'm really glad to be here.
So could you first just tell me a little bit about the Cascade AIDS Project's mission and some of the things you provide to the community?
Sure. The Cascade AIDS Project is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We're an AIDS service organization that provides housing support services, client services, prevention and testing services to the state of Oregon and Southern Washington also.
How did you guys get the idea to have a film screening series, and have you guys ever done this type of community outreach before?
The film series is really interesting because we've sort of been tossing the idea around here and there kind of throughout the last year, and new films keep coming out. We actually host brown bags with our staff, and we will share films. And we sat down as a team, and we just started brainstorming around what kind of events we wanted to have for World AIDS Day this year. The idea of a film series came up, and there was some traction. We talked with the Clinton, and we're going to make it happen.
What would you say you feel is most effective about documentary films in particular as a way to raise consciousness about issues such as AIDS as opposed to other methods?
Well, I just think film as a media is really compelling, right? It's a way that you can kind of appeal to somebody's sense of humanity. You can have these personal narratives within films that address greater, more kind of macro level social issues. You can both educate and entertain at the same time, which in this like ADD culture, we kind of have to do. So yeah. It's really awesome to be able to find films that people are going to enjoy and are also maybe going to move them to care more about an issue that's really important.
The first film you'll be screening is United in Anger, which is a documentary about the group ACT UP, which was a fundamental part of the early AIDS activist movement. The film, I think, is somewhat rare, but not available on DVD at least. Even though the movement and the reality of AIDS in general, particularly in the U.S., have drastically changed, how is their history and work still relevant to the current battle against the disease?
Well, we absolutely wouldn't be where we are today if it weren't for those activists who really created a sense of urgency around the first parts of the early epidemic, especially ACT UP activists who literally put their lives on the line because they had no other choice. Early AIDS activists, they were really busy putting out fires, but they're also creating models of healthcare to take care of one another because, to be honest, the government wasn't doing it for them. It took how long for Ronald Reagan to actually say the word AIDS publicly? So these activists essentially became researchers, became doctors, became specialists in all kinds of areas of their own healthcare. Organizations like the Cascade AIDS Project, we were founded by that movement, and we really have to remember where we came from in order to kind of be most effective in looking at where we're going. I actually put it out to my network of AIDS activists, and I said, if you could pick one film that isn't screened often enough and you would be able to include that in a film festival, what would it be? And almost unanimously, it came back to be United in Anger. It's a film by Jim Hubbard and Sarah Schulman, and it comes out of the ACT UP Oral History Project, so it draws on the ACT UP archives, and it's, you know, real-life footage from demonstrations against the FDA around the release of HIV medications and die-ins at the White House, and, you know, a really, really vibrant and as the title says, angry point in LGBTQ history. But it was a really, really important turning point. And I will say that my AIDS activist friends would slap my hand if I don't interject and say that we talk about ACT UP to be a historic organization. It really was. But there are still really active chapters of ACT UP that have been around since the very beginning. ACT UP Philadelphia, ACT UP New York, and they're still doing the same really cutting edge radical work. So you can also look for that.
The next night, now I understand you'll be collaborating with the folks behind Clinton Street's monthly sex workers film series to present a double feature of sorts. The feature being Tales of the Night Fairies, followed by the short film Global Whores on the March. Both deal with activism and collective organizing in India, with a lot of focus on the Durbar Women's Collaborative Committee. How do these films portray the unique struggles with AIDS in the sex worker community in general, or particularly in that region?
I'm really excited about this collaboration. Part of my role in doing prevention work at CAP is that I also work with the sex worker outreach coalitions. Anytime that we are going to talk about global AIDS as an issue, we're going to end up talking about social injustice, and we're going to end up talking about how inequities are fueling this epidemic in lots of different ways, like racism, sexism. Sex work is a really pertinent issue, especially to women globally. And we know the more disenfranchised that women are, the more vulnerable they are to HIV. So I think finding ways to sort of explore and destigmatize both HIV and sex work means that we're going to be able to have more honest conversations about HIV prevention.
Going along with the discussion of global AIDS, I think that is also a big part of the film on the following day, Miss HIV. This film has been billed as being unlike any film you've ever seen on AIDS and as being a film that shares both sides of an ideology struggle. Can you talk about the dichotomy of that struggle and of the two lead subjects in the film?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this film as well. It follows an HIV-positive beauty pageant in Botswana that's really mission is to destigmatize HIV. And this beauty pageant has become incredibly controversial. Its opponents say that it's sexualizing HIV or it's glamorizing it in a way that's inappropriate. And the proponents of the beauty pageant say that HIV-positive women can be incredibly beautiful. So that's a huge part of the film. And then it also addresses the issue of abstinence and decisions around abstinence. Also follows some gay rights activists in the International AIDS Conference in Toronto.
I think talking about AIDS on a more global scale, I think that part of the public perception, at least in the Western world, of AIDS is that the main battlefield against the disease has shifted from the U.S. across the Atlantic to Africa and other countries around that region. Would you agree with that characterization? And if not, I mean, are there parts of that that you find problematic?
Absolutely. I think that I hear this discussion happen a lot, and I mm-hmm. really believe that it's kind of a false dichotomy. Mm-hmm. That when we work with things like the Global Fund and PEPFAR, and we contribute economically to fighting global AIDS, that should be in addition to, not in substitute of, domestic AIDS funding and policy and things like that. We shouldn't be fighting over a finite pie. We should ask for a larger pie. So I really think that we need to be addressing both fronts, and we need to come from really culturally relevant and appropriate places and trust communities to be their own experts as to what works for them.
Moving on to the finale, topping off the series, it's going to be a sing-along screening of Rent. And I know, of course, that this is a shift in tone and that many movie musicals are like campier and lighter than documentaries. But I think at Rent's core, especially when it was first introduced, it had a lot of really important messages about the state of AIDS and HIV prevention in the U.S. How would you say the stage musical impacted the perception of AIDS and the movement towards prevention at the time? And how would you find those themes still relevant?
Rent really humanizes the epidemic, right? It brings it down to this individual level and the relationships that folks had, especially in that era when the epidemic was so unacknowledged and ignored. We're looking at a disease that disproportionately affects people who are living in poverty. And when you watch Rent, it's very clear, you know, that they burn their posters and screenplays to stay warm. It's kind of like a dramatic, like romantic kind of way to look at poverty. Mm-hmm. But these people are still broke and poor and trying to figure out how not to get evicted from their homes. We're also looking at issues of homophobia and racism. When you see the characters like Angel and Tom Collins, and their relationship was just so full of love, and the way that Rent really demonstrated that and personalized that, I think probably really changed a lot of people's minds as far as what it meant to be gender nonconforming when it comes to Angel, and also to be, you know, a queer person of color.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a little bit more about, of all the programming that's being offered in this film series, what attention is paid to examining the LGBT community's history of activism and prevention work? And how important do you think that part of the struggle and the story of that history is against the disease in the current day?
I think it's incredibly important. I think that when we talk about LGBTQ issues and activism and sort of the struggles that we've all had over the years, we also talk about sort of a lost history in a sense, because we don't have the same family structures of intergenerational relationships, right? So it's highly unlikely that my parents are going to be able to educate me necessarily on the history of someone like me's struggle. So I think it's really, really relevant.
I look forward to all this incredibly insightful and well-rounded programming on the issue. I'd really like to get as many listeners as possible out to the series. Where can they go to find more information about the series or more information about resources offered by the Cascade AIDS Project?
Well, the film series, all of the films are listed on the Clinton Street Theater's website. So, and they've been incredibly supportive of CAP and really helpful in this process. And all of the proceeds from ticket sales are coming back to help support CAP services. There's also worldaidsdayNW.org, and that's a listing of all of the local World AIDS Day events, and then also cascadeaids.org.
Great. And I understand that you have some events coming up that you'd like to share with the listeners as well.
That's right. Yeah. The film festival is sort of the finale or end cap to a week-long of World AIDS Day events that are happening the first week of December. So World AIDS Day is December 1st. We're also going to be hosting a panel at the Fez at 5:30 on December 2nd. And this panel is going to be a discussion around intergenerational history and future of HIV activism, which is going to be really interesting and compelling. We've got a really diverse group of panelists who are going to bring a lot of experience. We have Jack Cox, who is around for ACT UP when ACT UP was active here in Portland. Kathy Oliver, who is from Outside In and has worked with injection drug users for a very, very, very long time. Trisha McClendon is going to talk about her perspective as a person of faith. We're bringing in a speaker who's a young HIV-positive African-American man who's going to talk about what that experience has been like for him. He's an up-and-coming activist, so it's going to be a really great event. And then we're also hosting a First Thursday art showing at our space downtown at 4th and Pine called Pivot. It's a community center for men who are into men. And this is going to be art by Von Frick, who is actually a graphic artist who did a lot of agitprop for ACT UP back in the 90s and created just beautiful posters and comics and HIV and queer-themed print media. So we'd really love to have as many folks come out to those events as well.
Hopefully some of our listeners are interested. You guys get out to the World AIDS Day events coming up in early December. And thank you so much for speaking with me. I've been speaking with Jackson Mitchell, an HIV prevention specialist with the Portland-based Cascade AIDS Project. Thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. We really appreciate it.
You're listening to The Film Show on KBOO Community Radio. Once again, I'm Jen Chavez. Before we go today, I'll be back with our monthly calendar of film events in the Portland area. But for now, I'd like to focus on the 13th annual JHS Multicultural Film Festival. Formerly the Jefferson High School Festival, now redubbed the Justice Honor Service Festival, the ongoing fest pairs screenings of documentaries on multicultural issues with facilitated panels and discussions on the material presented. The monthly events take place at the North Portland Library and are free to the public. The next screening of the film My So-Called Enemy is on December 10th at 6 p.m. The festival's executive director, Jennifer Donkin, and its program advisor, Dr. Lionel Johnson, are both former educators, Ms. Donkin at Jefferson High and Dr. Johnson at George Fox University in public districts in LA and Portland. They both joined me in the KBOO studios to discuss their passion for educating the community about cultural issues through film and engaging viewers to enact positive change. Today I'm speaking with Jennifer Donkin and Dr. Lionel Johnson, the executive director and program advisor of the Jefferson High School Multicultural Film Festival. Welcome to the film show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So this is the 13th year of the festival. This has been going on for quite some time now. How did this collaboration get started?
I was teaching for the past 12 years. And while I was teaching, I was looking at the curriculum and noticing that there was no way possible that the curriculum could cover or was covering cultural information that could help our many cultures that attend public schools in high school. So there was money available through Mr. Ken Berry, who was then the principal. And I said, could I use that? And he said, sure. I said, I want to start a film festival. And that's when we got started. Since then, however, I have retired. We did change the acronym to mean Justice Honor Service.
Ah.
It is not tied in to anything specific with Portland Public Schools, it can be an aid.
What value do you think film in particular has in conjunction with a high school education?
One of the things about high school is that students are pressed upon to be diligent in their studies, in their disciplines. And many times students are challenged because the disciplines are isolated from one another. So we don't want to add to the burden of having them to read another additional book. But We want them to collect information that is contemporary, issues that are important for the many cultures that we are serving, and in a way that is inviting, entertaining, and they will get a lot of value out of it because we have some of the very best facilitators who come in and lead discussions.
And this raises their level of awareness of concerns that impact their lives. We want them to really work to help bring about change, to get them to take some form of action that's positive.
Great. Now, getting to the programming of this year's festival, what would you say is the overarching theme of the programming this year, and how was the programming selected with that in mind?
Well, this year's theme is Journeys That Transform Us. This is our first year of a 501c3, and we have an advisory board. Mm-hmm. And we asked each member to come up with some challenges and films that might represent those, particularly documentaries. And then we came together and hashed it out which ones have the greatest entertainment and informational value. Then we pulled it together, and Dr. Johnson and I went over it again, and we started looking at what sort of theme we could pull from the ones that people like.
Each of these presentations are set up so that they cover four major ethnic groups in the world. It's a global thing.
Wonderful. So the film coming up next is definitely of global focus. It's a film called My So-Called Enemy, which follows six Palestinian and Israeli young women for 7 years, starting with their participation in a U.S.-based program, Building Bridges for Peace. Can you tell us about that program?
That program will be facilitated by AFS International students. Here we are talking about young people who are coming together and attempting to build bridges between them because they are fighting in their own country. Mm-hmm. And we have international students who are coming from that area of the world. Sally Ann Wells, who is the volunteer coordinator, is bringing those young ladies on board as a panel who will discuss this film. And this film does not cover how the difficulty started. It simply is a slice of life and what is happening with these young girls. When we start looking at individuals as individuals and not as a stereotypical group, then we start thinking that war is not the answer, but diplomacy is. Mm-hmm.
What we've noticed, too, is that it's a question of governments many times are at odds with each other. The intent here, again, is to get at the personal level.
It's impossible to do the unconscionable when you have met and learned about an individual who is part of the group that you are supposed to be an enemy with.
This all sounds like it would be very empowering to people viewing this of similar age to the subjects. The film is described as offering the audience a message about the vital role of women in peacekeeping. Mm-hmm. What about this film is empowering to girls and women?
One of the things that struck me in the film were issues with gender. There was, on an occasion, one young lady who believed that men were just more vital than women, and that if she had a daughter, she would cry. And she then later changed her perspective about that. When young women see themselves as strong enough to handle situations, then they can move forward without the baggage of believing that they are a secondary source of help.
Again, the film is My So-Called Enemy, and that is screening on Tuesday, December 10th at the North Portland Library at 6 p.m.
Yes, it is.
And it's free of charge, you were
mentioning? It's always free. Mm. We are always excited about this because our community means a lot to us. Mm. And having a diverse and respectful conversation with one another on a regular basis such as this, because this is an 8-month program, means a lot to us.
Yeah, this series is going to be continuing into the new year. Can you give any info about some of the upcoming programming in 2014?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have The House We Live In, which is about drugs and how it affects our
I just watched
community.
That like a week ago. Oh, superb choice. Yeah.
Isn't it great? Yeah. And then we've got Freedom Riders. We have one lady who went down during the 60s to help on the mission of civil rights. She tells about she thought she was going to be killed. The Canary Effect, Barbara O'Hare, who works with Uniting to Understand Racism. She, with a Native American person, will be facilitating that. We have Two Americans, which is about Mexican Americans and the Journey of Man.
Great. And all these screenings will feature a discussion following the film.
Oh, that's our basic format, to have the presentation and then discussion afterwards. And all seats are equal. It's a community effort. And this is their program. It's not ours. We're just arranging and setting things up for them to come and develop a level of awareness that will really add to their livelihoods.
Great. Well, hopefully after this, some of our listeners are looking forward to some of this upcoming programming. Where can listeners go to get more information?
Postcards are always at the North Portland Neighborhood Library.
Okay.
Posters are at various places. We have postcards at the scanner. The information also comes out in the Portland Observer, the scanner online, I believe. Also.
Oh, the scanner online. Cool.
And so if we have PDX some, pipeline.
So for those listeners that we may have on the web right now, those two would be the scanner and PDX pipeline. We'll have more info. That's terrific. Well, I'm so glad that you both could join us today. I've been speaking with Jennifer Duncan and Dr. Lionel Johnson, the executive director and program advisor of the 13th annual GHS Multicultural Film Festival. Their upcoming screening of My So-Called Enemy again is on Tuesday, December 10th. 6 p.m. at the North Portland Library. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Film Show. Once again, I'm Jen Chavez. Before we go, I'd like to share with you some film events coming up this month that may be of interest. I should warn you that I'm leaving you to your own devices to locate screenings of A Christmas Story, but I think there's some good stuff in here besides. Tomorrow, November 29th and Saturday the 30th, the Northwest Film Center will screen Fresh French Shorts, their annual compilation of recent shorts by emerging French directors, at 7 p.m. on Friday and at 5 p.m. on Saturday. Details at nwfilm.org. On December 2nd, the Clinton Street Theater will host an evening with Australian experimental filmmaker Richard Tui at 7 p.m. EFF Portland, Grand Detour, and PSU's Art and Design program are joining to present this screening of his recent 16mm shorts. Visit cstpdx.com. On December 4th, the Hollywood Theater will be home to the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, a night of environmental and adventure films hosted by the Willamette Riverkeeper. Screenings begin at 7 p.m. For more info, go to hollywoodtheater.org. On December 8th, the Northwest Film Center presents the Sapporo Shorts program, selected from the International Short Film Festival of Portland's sister city, Sapporo. The 4:15 screening is part of the Film Center's Japanese Currents series. For details, visit nwfilm.org. On December 12th at 7 p.m., KBOO's monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater continues with Round Midnight, which stars Dexter Gordon and takes place in the New York and Paris jazz scenes of the 1950s. You can learn more at cstpdx.com or at our website, kboo.fm. On December 13th, Northwest Documentary presents its next homegrown Doc Fest at the Mission Theater at 7 p.m. This seasonal event showcases films produced during Northwest Documentary's Summer DIY Documentary Workshop. For more info, go to mcmenamins.com or nwdocumentary.org. On December 13th and 14th at 7 p.m., Cinema Project will close its fall season with What the Water Said, a collection of 16mm shorts with one of three artists in attendance. The screening will take place atop a former crabbing boat at Gallery 12128 Boat Space, moored at Multnomah Yacht Repair on Marina Way. For details, including directions, visit cinemaproject.org or 12128boatspace.com. And on December 16th at 7 p.m.,
Independent filmmaker and recent The Film Show guest Penny Allen will personally grace the Northwest Film Center for a screening of her new feature, Late for My Mother's Funeral, her portrait of a family living in Algeria. Details at nwfilm.org. And in case you missed it, SW Concert's interview with Penny for our September episode can be found on our website, kboo.fm/thefilmshow. Well, that about wraps up this month's calendar and this month's episode. I really enjoyed my discussions with Jackson Mitchell with the Cascade AIDS Project and Jennifer Donkin and Dr. Lionel Johnson with the JHS Multicultural Film Festival, and want to thank them once more for joining me. Perhaps this Thanksgiving we could take a break from non-portion-controlled poultry and arguing politics with our drunk, opinionated uncles to be truly thankful for all the film in our life, particularly when it's used as a tool for personal enrichment, heightened awareness, and engagement in our communities. Thanks to the Oregon Media Production Association's ongoing collaboration and support for the film show, and thanks, as always, to you, the listener. Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your community radio station, KBOO.
And you're tuned to Community Radio, KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis. And we are at K220HR Hood River and K282BH Philomath. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Hopworks Urban Brewery. Committed to creating world-class food and organic beer as sustainably as possible at our carbon-neutral eco brew pubs. Hopworks is located at Southeast 29th and Powell Boulevard, and Hopworks Bike Bar is at North Williams and Shaver. Available on draft and in bottles throughout Cascadia. Information at 503-232-HOPS or hopworksbeer.com. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW.